Okay. Well, this morning, on November the 3rd, we will be starting in Exodus chapter 25. Now, last week, not all of you were here, but we looked in God's Word at people that gave freely of their own volition to provide the materials to build the tabernacle and all the things of the tabernacle in the days of Moses, and all the things to build the temple in the days of David and Solomon, and how the believers gave so freely in the first century, at least in certain areas. And after Pentecost, they all gave freely of their extra stuff, so that others who had needs could have the needs filled. And the believers in Macedonia, you know, gave so freely that they actually begged Paul to take a gift from them. And Paul said they gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This week I wanted to follow up with the wisdom that it takes to do something with the materials that are given. When they made the tabernacle and the temple and then building the church, there were things that were freely offered, but there was wisdom provided as far as making it according to the will of God. And I'd like to start in Exodus 25. And we'll see what the Word of God has to say about these things. Chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. This is kind of a review from last time. Of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart ye shall take an offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst them, according to all that I show thee, Moses, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So God had a specific design, a specific pattern that he showed to Moses, and he showed it to him in great detail. If you read the rest of these chapters that follow, he gives those details. So they're all given in writing, how much of each thing needed to be made, the weight of the materials, the dimensions, and everything were given to Moses. We won't read all those details. It'd take all morning just to do that. But we'll skip ahead. Now, in the interim, you know, it went all through chapter 31 as far as the giving of the details of all these things that were to be made. And then, in the meantime, the people are contributing gold to make a golden calf. So Moses went down from the mountain, had to deal with that situation, and then go back up the mountain to intercede for the people so God wouldn't kill them all. But one thing that God did say, I did want to read in chapter 31 before we go on. In verse 6 of chapter 31, this is it, towards the end of the instructions for the tabernacle itself. Chapter 31, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. So this man, Bezaleel, would be the one to devise how all these things would be made. So God gave the revelation to Moses as far as what would be made in great detail. And then he said, you know, rather than have Moses do all the work, he chose out a certain man named Bezaleel to figure out how to do it. Now, he wouldn't figure out by his own understanding. It said God filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and in knowledge. So the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge would come from God. But this one man would have the know-how to produce all these things out in the wilderness. There were no cities around. You couldn't just buy even something like thread. It had to be made. There was gold from the jewelry that they borrowed from the Egyptians before they left Egypt. As far as tools, I don't know what kind of tools they had. If they didn't have them, the tools would have to be made. And they have materials, but the materials would have to be constructed according to very precise specifications. So it would actually be in physical form what God had revealed to Moses by the Spirit. So this man, of all the millions of people, this one was chosen. We don't know much about his background except what his father's name and his grandfather's name was and that he was from the tribe of Judah. We don't know what kind of job he had as a slave in Egypt. We know they all made bricks. But one thing we know about him is God filled him with the Spirit of God and gave him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And verse 6, "And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan." Now, apparently not good friends already, but two people. This Aholiab would be Bezaleel's assistant as far as carrying these things out. "And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." So God gave the wisdom to everyone that would do the work. So Moses got the revelation. One man is in charge of the production. He has an assistant that is named. And then there would be others that would volunteer their efforts. People that were wise-hearted, but it's God that gave each one the wisdom to do the work. And they would make what God commanded Moses. This word make is used many times in the Bible, but it's used of God making the firmament in Genesis 1, making the lights, the sun and the moon and the stars, making man in his image, okay? And when God saw everything that he had made, it's the word asah, it was very good. It also speaks of man making aprons out of fig leaves, which were not very good. So for man to make something on his own volition and his own efforts by his own wisdom, it's not going to be very good. But the God who made all things knows how to give the wisdom to people if they will are receptive and will listen to him and will carry out his instructions. Because that's really what wisdom is. It's not being so smart to figure things out, but it's being receptive to God to do what he gives to do. So let's follow this through. Chapter 35. And we'll pick up in verse 4. "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel." This is after the golden calf thing. "Saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from amongst you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Okay? And they'll make all these things. Let's skip down to verse 21. And they came, and every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Let's go to verse 25. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine linen. So they brought, they made the threads and the fabrics. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. They didn't have cotton fields and things like that, but they had goats, so they took the hair from the goats and they made thread out of the goat's hair. And go to verse 29. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, and every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So the willingness is emphasized throughout the whole thing. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works. That word devise means to consider, to compute, to invent, to calculate, so you get the idea. He would, by the Spirit of God, be able to know how to do these things. He would be the know-how man. He'd be the deviser of curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. And in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, when it talks about Bezaleel and how he would be able to devise these things, it uses a couple of Greek words. One is dianoia, which is to think through, and one is architectonai, or architectonesthai. And that's where we get the word architect from. Now, an architect usually doesn't come up with the idea of the building. There's a person who's going to pay for the building, who has an idea in mind. I want the building for this purpose. And you'll hire an architect to come up with the plans of how it will be put together according to the owner's specifications, what the owner wants the building to be for. And the architect, in a normal situation, will run the plans by the owner, and the owner might look at the plans and say, yeah, that's the way I want it, or no, I want you to change this. But again, it's not the architect's building, but he's the one who will have the know-how to put the building together. And usually the architect doesn't do the work himself. They'll hire contractors to do, the electrical work, the plumbing, the carpentry, the painting, all the things that are involved in actually putting the building together. So you'll have, the one who's commissioning the work, the one who's commissioned to design the work, and then the doers of the work. Okay? So this Bezaleel would be kind of like that architect. It's not his design, but it's God's design revealed to Moses, and then God would reveal to this man how to pull it off, out in the wilderness even. Okay. So let's read on. We were in verse 32. And in cutting of stones to set them, carving the wood, and all these things. Verse 34, look at this. And he put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet, fine linen of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. But he not only put in Bezaliel's heart to know how to do it, but he and Aholiab would teach the others who would do the work. So nobody would do the work according to their own ideas. They would be taught how to do it and be instructed on how to carry that out. So it would be all according to God's plan, God's design, and God's way of producing it. So none of these people would go by, okay, how did we do it back in Egypt? You know, how did the Egyptians do these things? It wasn't of any Egyptian origin or design. It was entirely of God's design. And if you read the book of Hebrews, it says these things were patterned after things that were in the heavenly realm as well. So the true thing would be in heaven. This would be like a type of what would exist in the heavenly realm. Pretty cool stuff, though. Now, in chapter 36, it says in verse 1, then wrought Bezaliel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaliel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. People kept on giving. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. So when people brought extra, they didn't say, okay, let's keep it. There's gold and silver and valuable things. They said, Moses, the people are bringing too much. We have more than we need for the service. In verse 6, it says, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So they brought such an abundance by their own volition and free will that they said, just please stop giving. We have too much stuff. Pretty neat. Verse 8 says, and every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains, and it gives all the details of the things that they made. And in chapter 37, verse 1, it says, and Bezaliel made the ark of shittim wood, and it gives all the dimensions that he had made it and how he made it. But Bezaliel himself made the ark of the covenant. Okay, he made it all by himself. And in chapter 38, and he, Bezaliel, still, made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood, and it describes how he made that. So all the people, they did all the work for the tent and the garments and everything, but Bezaliel was the one that made the Ark of the Covenant with his hands and the altar, the brass altar that they offered the sacrifices on. That is significant, so I wanted you to remember that. Chapter 39. At the end of the chapter, after all the description of what was made. Verse 42, it says, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And that word so is in the same way as God commanded Moses, so in the same manner the children of Israel made, asah, all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. So when they were all finished, and Moses saw it, said, this is exactly the way God revealed it to me when I was up on the mountain. These men made it with their hands out in the wilderness. They made it with their own hands to be exactly the way God commanded, because it was by the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God that everyone did the work. You know, with one architect, you know, receiving from God the wisdom on how to design it, how to produce it, with an assistant, Aholiab, and he and they would, again, make some of the things themselves, but also teach others how to do it in the way God had showed them it would be done. Very, very cool. Now, let's go to 1 Chronicles 28. We have a similar situation with the temple, because the temple would function as the tabernacle would. The only difference, it would be a permanent place rather than a tent that would be movable. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, this is toward the end of David's life, King David. And he held an assembly. 28 verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and over the hundreds, and stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, the sons of the officers, and the mighty men with all the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God. And he made ready for the building. Oh, and had made ready for the building. So David had it in his heart, and he prepared, you know, silver and gold and iron and brass and wood and stones and things. But God said unto me, verse 3, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Probably tickled him. Oh, he liked me. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So don't do that. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. Look at that. The pattern, the blueprints for the temple were given to David by the Spirit, just as every detail of the tabernacle was given to Moses by the Spirit. Let's look at that again, verse 12. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave by gold, he gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver, also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and all these things. He gave, David gave the gold. Verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. So David got the plans just like Moses got the plans. Solomon would be the architect, you see, to carry it out. Now, Solomon would need wisdom from God to carry that out, wouldn't he? Last week we read chapter 29, how all the people also gave willingly of their own stuff, the gold and the silver and the building materials. But I want to pick this up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. And this would have been after the death of David. Verse 1, and Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor, and all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But who actually did the making of it? Bezalel, right? But by the revelation God had given to Moses. But the ark of God, which was made by who? Bezalel, right? But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem, where the temple would be built. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And it's at this time that Solomon asked God for a wise and understanding heart, for wisdom. I thought it was just very cool that It was on the same night after Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings at the brazen altar, which God points out was made by Bezaleel. And you see the parallel between Bezaleel and Solomon, you know, as the architect of the tabernacle and then the architect of the temple, and how he would need that wisdom. Like, Bezaleel was filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge to do all the work, to know how to do it. Solomon would need the wisdom from God to know how to carry out the plans that David his father had given him, and how to run the kingdom, how to lead God's people. And it was at that night that he made that request, and God granted that request to him. Pretty cool. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Where we will see one more parallel along these lines. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is reproving the believers in Corinth for dividing themselves into groups. Some saying, well, I'm of Paul, because Paul had been there, you know, over a year he spent at Corinth. He was the first one to introduce the Word of God there. Others said, I'm of Apollos, because Apollos had spent some time there after Paul had left Corinth, and Paul went to Ephesus where Apollos was, and Apollos went to Corinth where Paul had been. And he, you know, was teaching the people and spent a lot of time with them, and others would have believed, well, Apollos was there. And others said, well, I'm of Peter, of Cephas. So I don't know if Cephas said, or Peter had been to Corinth, but may have been. And others said, well, I'm of Christ. You know, maybe some had been to places where they had heard Jesus Christ speak himself and they'd gone to Corinth. But he's reproving them for that. Verse 5 says, well, verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know, walking by the five senses? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, or he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You know, we're on the same page. We're doing the same thing. We're, you know, we don't want you divided into camps. We're working together. And every man shall receive his own labor, his own reward, according to his own labor. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That means like his farm or his vintage. Ye are God's building. Which reminds me of Ephesians 2, where it talks about how we're builded together upon the foundation of, you know, first Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets, but as an habitation of God through the Spirit, it says in Ephesians 2. It says, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The word master builder is the Greek word architecton. Like it's used in the Septuagint, the verb form of that word was used regarding what Bezaleel would do. Just thought that was interesting. As a wise master builder, architecton, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Because, you know, just when the tabernacle was made, it wasn't according to any man's own ideas on how the things should be made. The instructions were given to Bezaleel. Bezaleel and Aholiab taught the people how to make this stuff, and they made it. according to the pattern God had shown to Moses. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, the judgment shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are what? The temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. See, that's what he's talking about there. That's what's being built, is the temple of God. Now, there was no physical building built in the first century by the believers of Jesus Christ, was there? Yeah. The temple was the people. Paul, as the wise master builder, would have been compared to Bezalel, because Jesus Christ was the prophet like unto Moses, right? And Moses, you know, was the one that received the plan for the building. Jesus Christ was the one that received the plan for the building of the temple which God lives in today. And Paul was a chosen vessel unto him, right? He was called by name, like a Bezalel was called by name. He was the architect, you know, to know the how of building the church. And he, you know, would do and teach along with others. So that's why, take heed how you build thereupon. Everyone gets the privilege of helping. Everyone whose heart stirs him up to want to willingly give, but do it according to God's wisdom, you know, not according to your own. The significant verse here, I believe, is in Philippians chapter 2. Where the believers are instructed to be like-minded, to not do anything out of strife or vainglory, but to have the mind of Christ, you know, who is obedient to God in all things. And God highly exalted his Son, Jesus Christ, above everyone. In verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean to bring your own salvation to pass, but the outworking of it, the execution of it. You know, you've been saved by God, but what God has done in you to make you whole, you live out in your life. And you work, you know, to build the wholeness of the whole group. You see? Because it's not just talking about your individual salvation here, but it's talking about your wholeness as a group, where you're all of one mind, all of one heart. It takes everyone to be involved in that. With fear and trembling, and that fear and trembling is respect and obedience. And that's what wisdom is, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, the respect for God, and then the obedience to carry out what God says. And then verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And you see that in the building of the tabernacle, the willingness of the people to give, the willingness of the people to volunteer. Okay. also in the building of the temple, the willingness of the people to give for the materials, and then Solomon being willing, you know, to do the work and asking for that wisdom, because the wisdom would be required for the doing, right? Take both wisdom and strength and ability, but it would take willingness and wisdom to do. For it is God which worketh in you, all of you, both to will, to be willing, and to do with wisdom and with the strength God provides of his good pleasure, so that God's good pleasure comes to pass, so that what God revealed to Jesus Christ about the church, you know, with the plans given to Paul on how to do this, which we can read in the church epistles, they tell us how to build the church. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to come up with strategies. We just read what's written because the plans were given, you know, by Jesus Christ to Paul. Bless you. You know, so these scriptures tell us how to build the church. It's not up to us to figure it out. It's up to us to receive the wisdom, you know, to and first to be willing, but then to receive the wisdom on how to do the execution of it. That's how God's will gets done. That's how it got done previous times, and that's how it gets done now. And that's how it will get done in the future, too. With God, you know, giving the plans, giving the revelation, and then choosing people to receive the how of executing it, and then teaching others, and then the others being willing and receiving that wisdom, and then carrying it out, and then the will of God gets done. Okay, so thank you, God, for the great things that you have shown us, how throughout history you have worked in your people to bring your will to pass on earth, so that your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you that we can be a part of that great work today, that you have stirred up our hearts so that we're willing, and that you teach us so that we can know how to do things in your way. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's great name. Amen. Pretty exciting, huh?